I've been thinking about recording my blogs as booze for a little while now, so people can listen to them if they want to. And I guess if you're listening to this, you want to. So hi, and here's my first boo blog on Cambodia. Cambodia had been a blank page in my mind. I'd never dreamed of coming here and knew little about it other than that it was home to the Angkors and had been ravaged by external and internal war. I'm leaving changed and with a deep affection for the country and its resilient, kind-hearted people who have suffered unimaginably, and with growing awareness how much even one person can affect the world positively or negatively. In our 3 weeks here, we delved into the marvels at Angkor Wat and Tom, loving not only the main temples, but also our exploration of those further afield. Beng Malia, the furthest at 62 kilometres from Siem Reap, in some ways the most unrestored of the sites we visited, where we were able to wander off the beaten track, carefully climbing over gargantuan stone blocks into secluded courtyards as if transported into another world. The much raved about Bantay Shrey, some 32 kilometres from Siem Reap, which had the most crowded and Disney-esque feel of any of the temples, and where we enjoyed the pond of browsing water buffalo far more than anything else. Phya Khan, one of our favourites, originally a Buddhist monastery and now a sprawling, highly explorable complex. But Bayon remains my favourite, with its seemingly endless faces smiling benevolently down, every direction bringing another into view. The market in Siem Reap, where I had a gorgeous henna tattoo drawn on my hand and forearm, the food and the people we encountered made this a city I would love to return to. People come for a few days, but if you ever come, I would really recommend staying a week at least. It's a lovely little city, and the temples really are worth exploring more than a few rush days. You can read about our initial exploration of the Angkors and our day trip to Kampong Klang and Tonle Sap Lake and our food tour on the blog and at tinkstravels.com. And if I ever get round to recording them, you could listen to them here too. We'd initially planned to dive at Koh Rong on our third week, but having spoken with friends and other people, we changed our plans to go to Phnom Penh, where we explored the really wonderful central market and Russian market. The former with its huge domed roof and endless aisles of goods, and the latter, the Russian market, with its narrow, claustrophobic and yet fabulous lanes where you can buy anything from clothing, souvenirs, the latest bootleg DVDs, they had The Revenant yesterday, to dishwasher and even moped parts. It was here that we discovered our favourite meal in Cambodia, a noodle salad with chopped spring roll, which was so good we went back there 3 days in a row. We're going back in a minute. We stocked up on DVDs, had my by now fading henna tattoo covered with a lovely new design and replaced, and we got Jay a new pair of flip-flops because he's worn through his, he's on his third pair now. We visited the National Museum and, having wondered where they all were in Siem Reap, found many of the hands and feet that had been missing from the Angkor statues, along with a whole load of other wonderful carvings and statues, large and small. We skipped the palace. We've only recently done the Bangkok one and a lot of temples, a lot of temples. And what can I say, the queue was just too long. So we drove along the waterfront before visiting Wat Phnom, which is a Buddhist temple and I think the stupa that the city is named after. And one day I gave blood. As some of you may know, I have hereditary hemochromatosis, simply put, which means my body doesn't know how much iron it needs to keep, so it keeps it all, which, if untreated, is toxic. Luckily, I only need to give blood every 3 months to stay healthy, and there's nothing wrong with my blood, so during my travels it gives me the opportunity to donate, something desperately needed in most developing countries. Before starting the trip, we'd planned out the stops, and Cambodia had a great need of blood and a great reputation for clean and safe donor locations. On my first visit to the National Blood Transfusion Centre, my blood pressure was a pretty ideal 90 over 60, but despite this, and that being my normal, they wouldn't accept blood from anyone with a top pressure less than 100. So before returning a few days later, I ate a ton of donuts and had Jay make me laugh for about 30 minutes, resulting in a pressure of 110 over 70. Woohoo! So I gave blood and they gave me a t-shirt, which I promptly handed back for several reasons. We've no room, I'm unlikely to wear it, and hopefully it can go to someone who needs it. And then they gave me a box of pastries, which I did keep and ate later with Jay. I have to give blood to stay healthy, but people need blood to stay alive, and maybe you've never thought of it before, but you're giving blood while on holiday or business in developing countries would save lives, so go on, give blood. In Phnom Penh, we'd wanted to learn more about the country's past, both recent and ancient. More than a quarter of the population lost their lives during the reign of the Khmer Rouge in the late 70s through murder and starvation, and we wanted to pay our respects by visiting Chung Ek, the largest of the memorials at one of the 300 killing fields that have been discovered across Cambodia. It's a harrowing visit, listening to stories of this innocuous-looking place where people were brought for only one reason. A tree stands by one of the many pits that dot the site, where babies were smashed against its bark before being thrown into the pit below alongside their murdered mothers. The pathways have mainly been covered by wooden walkways where they've not. You can look down and see pieces of bone and fragments of skull and clothing poking out from the soil at your feet. Every few months, the staff collect these pieces that the earth has released and add them to those already retrieved. At the centre of the site stands a tall pagoda filled with the bones of the victims. The bottom levels are reserved for skulls, on many of which you can see the blows that ended their lives. I couldn't go in. I was too upset by it. It was too harrowing. When we talked about visiting Cambodia in the weeks before we arrived, we said we wouldn't visit the killing fields. It felt too horrific and perhaps even a little macabre, but having been in Cambodia and spoken with many of our guides about the family and friends they lost, it felt like we had to. It felt essential to our being here. The audio guide ends with a plea that this never happened again, and the heartbreaking reality is that, of course, it already is in several places around the world. I've been deeply, deeply moved and contemplative, can't quite say that one, by our time in Cambodia. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know I want to be someone who adds rather than takes from the world. Thanks for listening.